I'm on the Greek island of Antiparos. It's in the same chain as Mykonos or Paros in the southern Aegean. Antiparos is a small green island with many historical and geological sites to discover. There's very little traffic, and if you're staying here, you probably won't need a car.
Do everything just walking around, so that's also good for families.
A short ferry ride from the neighbouring island of Paros also helps slow the pace of life, even though the boat only takes a few minutes across the 1,500-metre-wide channel. The high season ferries run from 6:30 a.m. until 3:30 the next morning, but that extra step from Paros to Antiparos creates a welcome sense of seclusion. And that's why some big names, including Brad Pitt and Sean Connery, come to the islands to relax. Many locals will happily tell you about their brush with the stars.
The girl from Sex and City, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Jennifer Aniston. Tom Hanks, of course.
Tom Hanks has bought a holiday home on the island, and that's put Antiparos in the spotlight. So has a recent Greek teenage party movie. But tourism professionals don't want to lose the island's sense of intimacy.
To keep it like it is, like a small, traditional, friendly island, we don't want it to get too commercial.
With around 1,000 residents, Antiparos' only town is little more than the village. The ferry decamps you on the quay near a handful of bars and cafes. They face rows of brightly painted fishing boats bobbing on the clear waters of the Aegean. Walk straight on from the ferry ramp and you're on the main street, filled with small boutiques and cafes. The row of flags decorating one of the small supermarkets shows how international this community is. Stay for a few days and you'll start to recognise people. Holiday here for a week and you'll be likely to receive a friendly wave yourself. Many visitors say that Antiparos feels much more authentic than some more touristy Greek islands.
But it's a place which many repeater tourists, someone falls in love with Antiparos.
If you walk through a small arch, you'll reach the Castro. Built by Venetians in 1440, they had seized control of the island. It's not a Northern European-style castle, it's a walled community of small houses and four churches set around a central courtyard and a small tower on a mound. It was designed to keep people and property safe.
To protect the people that lived in the village from the pirates. Before the 15th century, all the travellers say that Antiparos was empty. We had only pirates.
The piracy stopped, but the plundering of archaeological artefacts continued. Antiparos' biggest attraction is the only vertical cave in Europe.
So this is a stalagmite.
But many have been removed as trophies.
And it's the oldest in all of Europe. It's dated to be about 45 million years old.
I always assumed that they'd be really thin.
It takes about 80 years for 1 centimetre of a stalactite or stalagmite to be formed. You can imagine how old this is. It is believed that the cave of Antiparos was the home of the Cyclope mentioned in Homer's Odyssey.
Scary.
Polyphemus, that he actually lived here.
The cave is about 8 kilometres from the town. It's a bit of a hike up to the entrance, 170 metres above sea level, but the view over the coast is a bonus. After buying your tickets, you'll see 2 tiny connected churches.
And this is the church.
It's very small, isn't it?
But there is a smaller one. This is the second church. Look inside. That was the original church, that one.
That's more than
and
a bedroom,
this one
isn't
came
it?
In 17-something, I don't remember the date exactly.
The view of the huge cavernous space that awaits you as you enter is unforgettable.
What is the height then, from the bottom to the top?
It's about 100 metres. It's 5,000 square metres, the whole cave.
There's viewing platforms at each of the 3 chambers, here. So you can get a break from the steps. You do need to be fit.
Gary said there are 4,000 steps.
No, 400.
There's down 400, up 4,000.
No, yes, you're right, something like that.
There is a recently constructed cement staircase and firm metal handrail to guide you up and down.
It's getting cooler, much cooler.
Yeah, the temperature of the cave stays the same in winter and summer. It's about 15 degrees, and it's quite humid inside. Mm.
I can't imagine how difficult accessing the cave would have been for the French ambassador and his team.
In 1673, when the first people entered the cave, nobody had actually been in.
He was travelling on a quest to remove archaeological finds to France. He heard about the cave whilst on neighbouring Paros.
The ropes were tied around that column and they just went down.
There's a lot of dated inscriptions on the rock inside the cavern where people have carved their names over the years. It's incredible to see marks made in 1776 that look like they were carved yesterday.
Now the cave is separated into three different chambers.
The Chamber of Stone Waterfalls is first, so-called because the stalagmites and stalactites look like white water rushing over falls. Next, you'll enter the space where the French delegation held mass during their Christmas Eve exploration. It's called the Chamber of the Cathedral. The final stop, the Royal Chamber, is dedicated to a Greek king whose signature remains carved on the wall.
Othonas, King of Greece, 27 September 1840.
Antiparis's limestone landscape offers more sea caves for divers and swimmers to explore.
Once you dive, you go down only 2 or 3 metres and there's a tunnel that connects one to another and then to another one. But there's also a colony of monk seals around here.
Gary Gainsbury is a partner in Blue Island Divers. He decided to leave Britain on a cold, grey November day almost a decade ago. He says the clarity of Antiparis's water is incredible.
UK visibility, maybe 3 or 4 metres if you're lucky on a good day. Here, 30 metres is regular, and maybe even more.
Like many expats, Gary loves living on Antiparos.
I don't think once have I ever said, oh, I wish I'd never come here. It is idyllic, really. I get up in the morning, the sun's shining, and I think, I've got to go and dive today. What a shame.
You can get more information about Gary's services at blueisland-divers.gr. Antiparos has plenty of beaches, some pebbly, some sandy. Sunset Beach is just 500 metres from the town square, and the reason why people go there should be obvious. In a moment, we'll learn about Antiparos' magical alfresco nightlife, taste the island's food, and discover Tom Hanks' menu favourite. And we'll visit a nearby island where a recently uncovered archaeological site is being rebuilt.
It is what an ancient man would see if the ancient workers would construct it. Great Destinations Radio Show.
This is the Great Destinations Radio Show. I'm on the small Greek island of Antiparos. Even though Hollywood A-listers have discovered this Aegean paradise, it remains unpretentious, low-key and affordable.
It's 12 kilometres long, by about 3 or 4 kilometres wide, very hilly. One side of the island, it just drops straight down into the sea. And the south and the east coast, you have really nice beaches, nice soft sand, protected from the wind. But you have to bear in mind, there's only one village on the whole island. There's no other shops, a few restaurants, tavernas, very little civilization. It's quite natural looking as well.
When the sun goes down, the nightlife on Antiparos is relaxed rather than rowdy.
It might not be like Faliraki or like Mykonos, which is not very nice. Someone feels like a tourist when he goes out. Here in Antiparos, you feel like a local when you go out. La Luna. It's a discotheque which opens after 4 or 5 o'clock in the midnight. The forgotten disco of the 80s in the middle of nowhere. I think it's the only one in Greece at the moment, which is an open-air disco.
Throughout Greece, Antiparos is known as a bit of a love island.
If you are single, go to Antiparos. You know what I mean.
With the island's pleasant climate, you'll probably want to make the most of evenings outdoors. There's free alfresco cinema that only shows old films that require no screening copyright fees. Although Antiparos is small, its sophisticated visitors do expect good food, and you'll find all international cuisine.
For example, you can find, of course, the Greek local cuisine, you can find Italian cuisine, even Indian cuisine on the island.
All the restaurants are they're very good. You won't find any like shabby places. It still has this genuine Greek feeling. You still find all the traditional Greek tavernas.
Dimitris's restaurant is in its 31st year of trading. He told me that goat's cheese and calamari are amongst some of his local menu staples, and that Tom Hanks loves the way he cooks his fish.
He has salmon and salad.
So I can come here now and say I want a Tom Hanks.
Yeah, okay, you can ask. But he is very friendly.
I was privileged to be invited to see some locals produce the island's spirit. We waited until nightfall to venture off the main road onto dirt tracks to find the industrial unit where it was being produced.
Other places they call it Raki. Other places they call it Suma. So you could do the same thing that they do here with grapes, you could do it with figs. But no one does it in Antiparos. He said in Antiparos they only do grapes. So more or less every 2 hours he puts in a new barrel, and this barrel can produce from 40 to 60 liters of tikoudia. So now in 5 days he has done this 200 times, so that's a lot of liters.
This complicated process, which I can't begin to describe, takes place every October. There are lots of different elements involved in the production. Grapes are crushed, the juice is removed, the pulp ferments, and then it's distilled in a large copper boiler. Steam is captured, the drips are collected, and once the solution meets the required alcohol level, it can be bottled or drunk. Locals buy a license and have a week to undertake this process, so they work in shifts to get the job done. It's a big social event with barbecues and dancing around the heat of the furnace. I had one glass, it was very nice, tasted aniseedy, but it was also very strong, and I knew that the next morning I'd be out on a boat. George Marianas has operated boat trips on the island for 18 years. He's known locally as Sargos, which is also the name of his boat. He's from a family of fishermen and often arranges fishing trips.
We catch red snappers, red mullet.
One of his most popular runs is the short 10-minute ride to the uninhabited island of Despotiko.
So there is a beautiful beach on the other side of the Despotiko, beautiful island. The people stay there for 3 or 4 hours and then visit the sea caves. You can see sometimes the seals, some dolphins, so that's a small cruise what I do.
I was on board his boat to visit an archaeological site on the island. Back in 1959, a dig revealed the remains of a temple in which priests would have lived in around 500 BC.
We have a temple dedicated to Apollo and Artemis. They were twins born in Delos, we know from the mythology. And it's one of the most important sanctuaries because it's freshly, it's new. I mean, it's nobody knew about that sanctuary. But the most important is the temple. So this is Gneiss, this is new. Now we start doing the new pieces. Those are the ancient pieces over there. You see, the columns are really destroyed.
Yanis Karagios is directing the excavations, and he took me on a tour of what's been uncovered.
We found 600 items under the slabs of the floor. And we have faience from Egypt, we have Corinthian pottery, we have geometric pottery, we have a lot of figurines, we have bronze items, gold, scarabs that come from Egypt. The most important things was the cult image of Apollo, a small statuette that was underneath the slab.
The plan is to reconstruct part of the uncovered temple so visitors will see what it once looked like.
Study very carefully every small piece and every element. Then we study the history of architecture and other similar examples. We put everything together like a puzzle to recreate in a drawing how it used to be.